W-2 Chippewa Falls, W-2280P Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is objecting to rules that would keep the candidates' microphones open throughout the debate next month.
I didn't like it the last time, but it worked out fine. I mean, ask Biden how it worked out. It was fine. And I think it should be the same.
Each candidate's mic was muted during that Biden-Trump debate in June when they weren't speaking. An exchange of fire yesterday between Israel and Hezbollah forces may not signal the beginning of an all-out regional war, says CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb in Tel Aviv.
The leaders of both Israel and Hezbollah are signaling that they do not intend to escalate further, for now at least, as the death toll in Gaza continues to rise.
Excessive heat advisories are in place for parts of the country, including Minnesota, where the higher temperatures are fine with Merity Peterson of St. Paul, where it can get very cold in the winter.
Oh, God, the heat is amazing. This is much nicer than 30 below.
High heat headed to the east tomorrow. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Trial begins today for one of three Central Wisconsin men accused of beating another man to death in Stevens Point this spring. Arlen Sangster faces one count of reckless homicide. Prosecutors say the victim was Donald Mitchell, who confronted Sangster and the two others while they were rummaging through his pickup. Momentum in the race for president has shifted since a month ago, and Republicans were talking about expanding their ground game.
Those days are over. We're back to the core seven battlegrounds in the Congressional District of Nebraska.
As Kamala Harris campaign advisor David Plouffe, he spoke with WISN-TV's Up Front, Republican strategist Bill McCoshin tells the program Donald Trump needs to talk about issues that work for him best.
Inflation, gas prices, rent prices, those grocery prices, and the border.
Both agree Wisconsin will be critical to the outcome. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. One person was killed in a two-vehicle crash in Polk County over the weekend. According to a press release from the Polk County Sheriff's Office, the crash occurred around 11 a.m. on Saturday at the intersection of State Highway 48 and County Highway I near the Village of Luck. Law enforcement authorities say a pickup truck was traveling on County Highway I when it failed to stop at a stop sign, colliding with an SUV on Highway 48. A passenger in the SUV was pronounced deceased at the scene, and the crash is under investigation. Former Eau Claire Deputy City Attorney Douglas Hoffer has been sworn in as a judge in the Eau Claire County Circuit Court. Hoffer was appointed to the position by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers just a few weeks ago after Judge Michael Schumacher announced his resignation and will serve the remainder of Judge Schumacher's term until next July. He had served as a deputy city attorney in Eau Claire since 2013, and City Attorney Stephen Nick has praised his skill and commitment to making a positive impact on the community. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers drop one to the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers got home runs from Gary Sanchez and Willie Adames, but came up short, losing 4-3 to the A's in Oakland. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
The story was, you know, obviously that they stuffed us offensively. We had one at bat with a guy in scoring position. We hit two home runs, and we flew out or popped out nearly every time.
The Crew are back in Milwaukee and host the Giants tomorrow night. NFL roster reductions. Packers wide receiver Grant DuBose was praised during training camp for his speed, his routes, and his downfield blocking. But will that be enough to make the team?
You just got to have faith. And I've been telling myself this, control what you control. It's above me. Ultimately, it's in the decision of the people in the front office. You know, hopefully, you know, I did enough to where, you know, they think highly of me, you know, to bring me back. But if they don't, that's just that, you know, kind of just on to the next. You know, that's the business that we're in. That's kind of got how you got to approach.
That's Packers wide receiver Grant DuBose. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
Scorching hot today with high heat and humidity. An excessive heat warning is in effect as temperatures soar to the low 90s. It'll be feeling like 106 degrees. Then, strong to severe thunderstorms push in overnight, packing the threats of high wind and heavy downpours. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 91.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Gwyneth Paltrow, she has a company called Goop. You remember that project she sold? She found a way to bottle the scent of her
privates. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
That's a little pretentious. That's the last thing I would want to inflict on the population. Hey, everybody. Here's Pete's crotch. Line up. You can get it fresh here at the farmer's market, or you can buy it in aisle 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers stops by for Tuesday Tangents with Luke, what's grinding his gears and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is up, Wisconsin? Quiet. It's good to be back in our home state. Big week last week. Civic was, of course, down at the DNC in Chicago. It was a busy week, suffice it to say. Incredibly exciting. I think exceeded all possible expectations. I haven't yet been with you following Vice President Kamala Harris's nomination acceptance speech, but boy, was that a treat. I mean, Brian, people in the athletic business talk about putting on a clinic. Yeah, that was a clinic on how to be a professional speaker. I couldn't find one thing to frankly critique in her speech from a pure political oratory perspective. I thought that was damn near perfect. What did you think, Brian?
Yeah, she did a pretty darn good job. People were just really excited about seeing her. She was the main event. At that point, she could have probably said, do you know what? I like bologna, and I put ketchup on my bologna sandwiches, and that's delicious. And the way that she would have said it would have probably been the greatest thing, and everyone has said, yes, bologna sandwiches for everyone. But on top of that, she showed up and gave a really good speech, which was hit it out of the park. I mean, it was basically like, hey, the bases are loaded. We're probably going to win, but do your best. And she hits a grand slam. So good for her.
I love the mixed metaphors there, Brian. Exactly what we had going on. Yeah. And we've got certainly an incredible show for all of you right after the convention. We got to kick it off, right? We got, what is it? Somewhere in the ballpark of 70 days now? 70 something?
70 days. 71 days.
70 maybe, days until the election. So there is going to continue to be tons to talk about. We are kicking off today a really special segment that'll be part of my show for the foreseeable future, certainly up until the election. It is Maggie and the Millionaires. Every day I'm going to have a special guest, and we're going to talk to you about money. Money in our country, money in politics, money in our pocketbooks, money in rich people's pocketbooks, the tax system, all of these things. Why, you may be asking, Maggie, would you spend so much time every day talking about something which can be perhaps a little unsexy, maybe a little dry? We'll keep it very punchy for all of you. But the reason that we're doing this is that we live in a capitalistic democracy, and there can be no debate that understanding how money frankly flows through our economy? What values does our tax system express? How does a particular policy either help or hurt the middle class? What does all of this mean? Because all of us, at the end of the day, know that it is typically about the money. And so following the money and trying to get a handle on how this all works and what you should know to be the most prepared voter you can be come November 6th is incredibly important. And the reality is this: there are sharp, sharp distinctions in the economic policies being proposed by the Harris-Biden administration, excuse me, the Harris-Walz ticket. There are sharp differences with the Biden-Harris administration's economic policies. And there are sharp differences between those two and the sorts of policies Trump put into place during his first term and then he's proposing for his second term. And they will make a difference in your family's economic health. So really important. And frankly, let's be honest. Sometimes the candidates don't make it as clear as they should be what those differences are. You know, Trump talks about, yes, he put in place a tax cut. And most of us, if we hear the words tax cut and are asked, is that a good or a bad thing? Most of us would probably say, well, lower taxes generally are better. So yay, because we don't want to pay any more taxes than we have to. But the question isn't about should there be a tax cut. The question should always be, who is the tax cut benefiting and what sort of programs? Where do we have to take something out of the budget to make up for the fact that we're giving a tax cut? That's where the rubber meets the road. That is one element that we are going to be digging into today.
Maggie, the first thing that I was asked when I got back, and I'm on a boat yesterday with the family, first thing I was asked was, that was a great bunch of speeches. That was a bunch of fun. Who's paying for it? That was the first question I was asked.
Who's paying for the convention?
No. Who's paying for all the wonderful things we all talked about last week? All this wonderful hope and change, all these great ideas. Who's paying for it? Which brings back to the point of, you know, why we're going to talk about this. Money matters. And the thing that they cared about is, that's great. That's all this hope and stuff. We guys should do all these things. Who's paying for it? And that's where the rubber meets the road. And by
the way,
money is very sexy. Nothing makes somebody who's really ugly a lot hotter than having a bunch of money around them. At least I've seen that a lot. So money is very sexy, by the way.
Yeah, the Amex Black Card certainly ups your hotness rating.
It's quite a lot better than any scent that's out there.
Yes, the scent of money, the ultimate aphrodisiac. Yeah, Brian, you're right. Here's the thing, just on that very question, I often hear that from people. And the whole point is, we're spending a whole lot of money all the time. Where does it come from? It comes from taxpayers and corporations, right? Those that generate revenue for the federal government. That is our tax system. So the way that we pay things is, we all pay for them. The question isn't, how is it getting paid for? Because the answer is always the same: taxpayers. The question is not, how are we paying for it or who is paying for it, but how is the burden to pay for these things divvied up amongst working people and those that do not work anymore because they're so stinking wealthy they can just live off their investments? That's the question. And that fundamentally is a moral judgment, right? Do we believe that work is as valuable and perhaps more valuable than those who don't work and simply let their money feed their lifestyle, right? We all rely on our paychecks to do what we want and be on a boat and do all those great things. But there's a whole lot of people that don't pay anything out of a paycheck because they don't get paychecks anymore. So this week, generally speaking, we're going to be talking about what makes America the richest country in the world. Well, who really are we talking about when we say that, right? Because regular folks all the time ask me, well, the GDP is going up, but it's not helping me any. And this has to get beyond talking points from either the right or the left. Oh, well, if you raise taxes, businesses leave. Well, some businesses might. But the question is, does the differential that is made from an increase in corporate tax rates or maintaining corporate tax rates, is that revenue increase Is it justified by the policies and programs that we can pay for because of that? Is that increase or maintaining a corporate tax rate, is that offset by, for example, job growth because we're able to invest in other industries? It is far more complicated than observing that maybe some businesses might move if tax rates go up. The fact of the matter that the businesses that got the benefit of the Trump tax cut in 2017 were paying 35% and they were still here. So an argument that somehow putting their tax rates back to 35% would lead to some mass exodus of businesses from this country is suspicious on its face. We, especially here in Wisconsin, have some of the most skilled workers in North America. We are a destination for businesses, and they were here back when the rate was 35% on a federal level. They'll be here afterwards. Again, don't believe all the hype. We got to get under it. So I'm really excited to have Stephen Prince, the vice chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, joining me this afternoon at 3 o'clock. He founded National Business Products, now known as Card Market, as a gift card and in-store marketing material production company. He came up, he is the quintessential bootstrap guy. He was not born wealthy. He wasn't even really born upper middle class. He was born working class. He created his own business. He's now vice chair of the Patriotic Millionaires. We're going to talk about money today. What is rich, right? What is rich in the United States? Because, again, when we start calling things like estate taxes, death taxes, it certainly sounds scary to people who won't have estates when they die, but definitely will all be dying. So those kinds of things. What does it mean to be rich? And rich in America. We'll talk about all of that today. That is going to be a daily segment here on the Maggie Dawn Show, 3 p.m. every day. By the time we hit November 6th, people, if you tune in on the regular at 3 p.m., you will probably know more about economic policy than basically almost all of the Republicans running on the congressional tickets in the state of Wisconsin. I promise you, that's what we're going to get done for you. Really excited about it. But Brian, I wanted to start today off with some of the kind of insane things that we were hearing from Republicans just melting down. There's no other word for it, melting down during the DNC. And folks on this network and others have talked about the right's reaction to different moments of joy and unity during the DNC. And one of their special targets really got their blood boiling was the effusiveness, the love and exuberance of Gus Walz, Governor Tim Walz's son, who had a moment of just, again, pure joy during his dad's speech, was moved to tears and stood up and said, "That's my dad." And anybody who saw it, it would do nothing but melt your heart. Oh, of course, if your heart is turned into a lump of coal because your name is Laura Ingraham or Jay Weber. We'll talk about that and some other really nasty things that Republicans have said after we come back. Then Brian and I will share with you some of our favorite guests and moments from the DNC. You're not going to want to miss all of it. I want to hear from you. What were your favorite moments, favorite guests? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Stay put, everybody. We'll be back after these important messages. I'ma keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Well, you haven't got the knack of being idly rich. You see, you should do like me, just snooze and dream, dream and snooze. The pleasures are unlimited.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show. CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
93.5 The Tap.
I can't stand the rain against my window, bringing back sweet memories. Yeah, when the rain, do you remember?
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. And whatever your party or no party at all, you need to be a voter in 2024. Tuesday, September 17th is National Voter Registration Day. So if you're not registered, maybe that's a good day to mark on your calendar as a reminder to get registered. Plus, it's a really good reminder to check your registration and make sure it is up to date. Have you moved? Maybe you got married. Maybe you changed your name. Is all of that up to date? You don't want to get to the polls on November 6th and be locked out of voting. You can always go to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov to check your status. Again, I think I just said November 6th. General election is Tuesday, November 5th. And if you need additional information, Civic Media has you covered. Head over to civicmedia.us/vote, civicmedia.us/vote, and you will learn more about all of the relevant deadlines, early voting, all that good stuff. Because everyone needs to have their voice heard in this such a historic election. We certainly heard from some conservative voices during the DNC. Apoplectic. I mean, Trump's meltdown on Truth Social was sort of epic and typically nonsensical. So I think it's really important to check out a couple of the truly eyebrow-raising things that they had to say. Now, keep in mind, during the DNC, the Harris-Walz ticket raised $82 million. That is, I believe, a record. They have raised over $540 million in the month since Harris announced her campaign for the presidency. So, yeah, you would expect Republicans to be a wee bit in the freakout mode, I would say. So it was unsurprising to me that Republicans took what I think by any human measure was the most heartwarming, wholesome moment of the entire convention when Gus Walz got up and was showing his love for his dad, giving the speech of his life. It was really a beautiful thing. Of course, not so beautiful for Ann Coulter and Laura Ingraham. I think I said it was Laura Ingraham before, wasn't it? It was Ann Coulter.
It was Ann Coulter and Jay Weber.
Jay Weber.
Good old ISN's Jay Weber.
Yeah. Ann Coulter, conservative commentator. I could say many things about Ann Coulter. I won't because the personal attacks really aren't relevant, but she has her own sort of messy personal life. Everyone, I think, at points in time does have a bit of a mess in their personal life. So I think, you know, it's one of those things that you would hope a commentator lays off of at least the kids of candidates. And if not the kids of candidates writ large, at least the kids of candidates who have nonverbal learning disorders and ADHD. And if not the kids of candidates with nonverbal learning disorders with ADHD, maybe the kids of candidates with nonverbal learning disorders not coming out and making some overt political speech that attacks your chosen candidate. Just a kid standing up and cheering for his dad. That merits Republican derision and disrespect and attacks, apparently, to Ann Coulter and WISN's rock star, like marquee commentator Jay Weber. It certainly did. Ann Coulter, minutes after Gus Walls got up during his dad's speech to cheer on his dad, tweeted out, "Weird. Ann, why is showing love for your dad weird? Why is it? He's crying. He's having a good time. He's so excited. Why is that weird? Why is it weird for a child to express that? Why is it weird for a 17-year-old boy to be brought to tears by his dad's impassioned vice presidential acceptance speech? What's weird is that you think it's weird. This is why people call you weird, right? Like, what is going on?
And I'm no Republican operative, but there's got to be someone in there that says, hey, maybe if you go and say that this is a beautiful moment and show that you can say that this is good too, maybe people will say, oh, they're not all weird and crazy and jerks. But literally every single one of them can't even accept. They can't even accept just a joyous, pure joyous thing and call it pure joy. They have to say something mean about it. Like, J.D. Vance can't go into a store. He failed the cheesesteak test. He can't just go in and say, hey, look, this cheesesteak is delicious. He goes, do you have any Swiss?
Why isn't there Swiss?
Like, who says that? Like, do you have any horrible food here at this grocery store so I can give it to the journalists? No, you just say, hey, look, I'm in a grocery store eating local food. See you, bye. I'm a good person. Bye. Have a good day.
Can't do that. Cannot do it. Jay Weber, I mean, this is the text of texts. I'm not going to use the semi-expletive that he uses. This is Jay Weber, WISN headline famous, one of their brand defining commentators on WISN, wrote this. Sorry, and this is, again, he's referencing Gus Waltz's wholesome, exuberant outburst of love and joy for his dad. Sorry, but this is embarrassing for both father and son. If the Waltzes represent today's American man, this country is screwed. And he acts like he is Tim Walz introducing his son. Quote, meet my son, Gus. He's a blubbering blank boy. His mother and I are very proud. End quote. Gross. Weird, gross, disgusting, unfair, unkind, cruel, unnecessary, and beside the point. But what's not beside the point is your cruelty, is the lack of humanity, which you choose not to show to anyone who disagrees with you, right? Like, that you think that people who disagree with you are not owed a modicum of acknowledgement of their human dignity, a modicum of respect, is what is weird. It is what is unacceptable with the entire MAGA platform these days. It's fine if you want to argue for your policies. It's fine if we want to have great political arguments. But your cruelty is not acceptable. And it wasn't just Ann Coulter, and it wasn't just Jay Weber. The cruelty parade from the MAGA cult continued all last week. We'll hit two local people in addition to Jay Weber, who said other disgusting, ridiculous, frankly, cruel things. When we come back, I want to hear what your favorite moments, most shocking moments, most excited you were from the DNC, 855-752-4842. Your calls and texts coming up next.
You are a rude, terrible person.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
If you've been following the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, you've likely heard or seen one of the scouts pointing out earworms in the Western Corn Belt. It is a pest that migrates from the south and can be an issue in some types of corn. I'll have more details right after this.
Get more value out of your farm's high tunnels. Join the Oats Workshop, Sustainable High Tunnel Management, on August 1st in Oak Creek. Learn from farmers and ag professionals about controlling temperature, managing soil fertility, and pests. Tour the high tunnels at Village Farmstead, a USDA organic produce farm, and see demonstrations of tools and techniques used to manage permanent raised beds. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today. Oats science-based organic training for agricultural advisors.
I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report, and University of Illinois Extension field crops entomologist Nick Sider says popcorn, sweet corn, and seed corn are some good examples of where earworms are hiding out.
Now, if you're growing field corn, one thing that happens is the base of the ear tends to compensate really well when that feeding is limited to the tips of the ear. And with corn earworm, most of the feeding is limited to the tips of the ear. So the actual impact on yield in field corn from an insect like corn earworm tends to be pretty minimal. Where we can get concerned with it sometimes in field corn is if you get that feeding and then you get the sort of weather conditions that can lead to mycotoxin development in the ears. So more of a quality concern for us in field corn than a concern with yield loss.
I'll have more news right after this. Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFPF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection invites Wisconsin dairy processors to apply for the Dairy Processor Grants through October 7th. These grants aim to foster innovation, improve profitability, and sustain the long-term viability of Wisconsin's dairy processing facilities. A total of $500,000 is available for this year's Dairy Processor Grants, and grants will be awarded for projects up to $50,000 and 2 years long. You can learn more about this at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter, as we'll deliver 5 stories to your inbox every single day. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Scorching hot today with high heat and humidity. An excessive heat warning is in effect as temperatures soar to the low 90s. It'll be feeling like 106 degrees. Then, strong to severe thunderstorms push in overnight, packing the threats of high wind and heavy downpours. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 89.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Hans Breitenmoser tells us about another massive crop of Wisconsin cranberries expected, and a Canadian railroad strike could impact farmers.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Everybody likes us. Everybody hates us. Think we'll go eat worms. Big fat, juicy ones. Teeny, weeny, squeeny ones. See how they wiggle and squirm. Cut off their heads and squeeze out.
I don't know about you all, but I think Jay Wimmer, Ann Coulter, Megyn Kelly, and a lot of them should just get served up a big old worm sandwich. I mean, it would seem appropriate. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're doing a DNC recap and then kicking off our brand new daily segment, Maggie and the Millionaires. You'll find that at the top of the hour. Your comments, reflections, and favorite moments, most shocking moments, most exciting moments of the DNC are welcome. I'd like to hear from you. So would Brian. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Before we go to the phones, I just wanted to finish sharing with you what I some really odd, shocking, cruel, stupid, insidious, bad ideas. Okay, you get the point. We're going to talk about rich people today. What makes people rich in the United States? What is rich? Again, that's going to start at 3 p.m. But one of the most poignant lines for me, the one that I will remember, that I will quote until the day that they put me underground, is that affirmative action is truly, actually, about generational wealth in this country and the passage of generational wealth, so that, you know, your kids or your grandkids truly never have to work. They don't need a college education. They don't need any skills. They just do nothing for the rest of their lives, or whatever they decide to do or not do, because you have amassed so much money that it exceeds all capital that you would need to live comfortably in this lifetime and is now transferring into future lifetimes, perhaps in perpetuity, so that you and all of your progeny never have to work again. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like bootstraps. That sounds like lazy business. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Let's take a listen to Michelle Obama talking about this very point. Then we're going to listen to what Rojo thinks it's like to be a billionaire, shall we?
She understands that most of us will never be afforded the grace of failing forward. We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth. If we bankrupt a business, if we bankrupt a business or choke in a crisis, we don't get a second, third, or fourth chance. If things don't go our way, we don't have the luxury of whining or cheating others to get further ahead. No. We don't get to change the rules so we always win. If we see a mountain in front of us, we don't expect there to be an escalator waiting to take us to the top. Work. In America, we do something.
And that's really the point, isn't it? Like, just speaking to what life is like for the vast majority of middle-class people is the point. Again, we don't get to fail forward. We don't get third, fourth, fifth chances. We don't get to screw up repeatedly and have people make excuses for us. This is the point. Middle class and working people in this country work damn hard. But, you know, let's just ask Ron Johnson, because I'm sure it's much harder for billionaires.
When I first got to Washington after having run a manufacturing plant for about 30 years, one of my first insights was how very few people in Washington, D.C., whether we're talking about the bureaucrats in the executive branch, staff members, or members of Congress, had any experience in which means very little knowledge of, maybe even worse, very little sympathy for the private sector.
They can look you pause at, it? Can you pause it right there, Brian?
No, it's very hard.
Can you pause it there? So he says very few people who work in government, bureaucrats, have any experience in and thus very little knowledge of what it's like to run a business. Dear Ron Johnson, do you have any experience in and therefore any knowledge of what a gallon of milk costs, what it means to try to buy groceries, fill a tank of gas, work three jobs, not because you want to, but because you have to feed your children? Dear Ron Johnson, do you have any experience of and therefore any knowledge of what it is like to not be able to send your child to whatever school you want because you cannot afford it? Ron Johnson, do you know, have any experience of, and therefore any knowledge of what it's like to worry about whether or not your kids will be better off? Do you know what public transportation is like, sir? What it's like to not have a driver or a private jet, or wait, three private jets? The arrogance of people like Ron Johnson is stunning. I would respectfully offer that the typical bureaucrat at any level of government who has been middle class, whose parents were middle class, and who will die middle class, has more knowledge of what it's like to exist in this economy than does Ron Johnson or any CEO. Running a business to make billions of dollars doesn't make you better qualified. That's just your experience, and you had choice. You could sell the business and stop doing that and probably live forever without working again. It is your choice, Ron Johnson, to engage in that business, to continue to be the CEO, to work to be a bill. Those are choices. But honestly, Ron, once you got 5 mil, maybe 10 mil, you name it, once you got all that in the bank, you don't have to work anymore. But let's listen to the rest of what he says, because it gets a little more interesting, because, you know, we should feel bad for billionaires because it's hard being rich. Let's listen to the rest of what Ron had to say.
They look at business, oh, it's easy to be a billionaire. No, it's very hard to run a successful business. It's difficult to think of a product somebody else wants to buy. It's even more difficult to produce that product or service at a cost less than you can sell it for. So business is hard.
Business is hard. Yep, all those things are true, but let's reflect, shall we? Didn't the auto industry get a bailout? Didn't big banks get a bailout? So actually, Ron, certain people get to fail forward all the time. Didn't Donald Trump go bankrupt 3 or 4 times, and yet he's still a billionaire? How do you screw contractors and say, well, it's real hard for me to not pay people?
How many times do you hear about a business going under or some giant corporation being screwed into the ground, and the CEO gets, oh, a $10 million severance package? How nice of that. You cost them $200 million, but yet you get another $10 million to just go and do nothing for a while because you screwed
up so
bad. For
all the good work
you
did?
And that person will get one. I was the CEO of it. Oh, you were a CEO. Oh, we should hire you right away because your resume says CEO. Oh, it's fantastic. And it goes back to exactly what you always, a theme that you bring up over and over again. Performance versus substance. Performance versus substance. If you happen to run a company and it does well, that's something you can do as a substance. But if you just happen to have a company because your dad has it, then that's performative, unless you actually add some sort of, I don't know, substance to it later. Do something. Yeah. Americans, do something.
Because that's not fair. And someone who holds that perspective, oh, that it's hard to be a bill. It's hard because you have so much money that you have a harder time keeping track of it. Like, that's what's difficult about being a billionaire, for crying out loud. And here's one to complain. Megyn Kelly, in response to Oprah Winfrey's awesome speech at the DNC, tweeted this. Of course, Oprah had to mention the racism and misogyny she's faced from a country that made her world famous, a mega billionaire, and shown her enormous love and adoration. Megan, don't you realize that both things are true?
They released the lie about Beyonce allegedly showing up at the event last night. They wanted to boost ratings. That would be absolutely stupid.
No, that's all right.
If to say she's coming when you know she's not coming, if it didn't have a real purpose, something that helped you, right? That's just, why would you say like, we almost got her and we didn't, and just disappoint everybody? Trump's convention didn't do as well on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Obviously, Kamala had good ratings on Monday because it was Joe Biden. It was our sitting president, and everybody wanted to see how he was.
Shut up,
and what
Megan.
He would say. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, they had big stars of their party, the Obamas, Oprah, Bill Clinton. But I do wonder how the numbers will be for the sort of apples to apples, Kamala versus Trump, right? And I think the whole Beyonce's coming, she's not coming thing was a ruse to boost the ratings.
So, Megan, she's worked in media a long time. She knows that there are things called rumors. No one from the campaign that had any official knowledge ever said that. This was all rumors. And by the way, how dare you slam Oprah for pointing out that she faced racism and misogyny? Yes, she was able to succeed, but do Black people have to be freaking Oprah or Obama to simply live their lives without being harassed for their gender or their race or their sexual identity or whatever it may be that you and the MAGA cult decides isn't quite worthy enough? That's the point. And Megyn Kelly, by the way, remember how long her talk show was on NBC, Brian? It was like, I don't know, a month or two. Guess what Megyn Kelly got to do? She got to fail forward. She got paid $69 million as a payoff for her failed talk show. $69 million, to your very point, Brian, for freaking it up. Shut up, Megan. You don't get to say, oh, Oprah doesn't get to complain because she was subjected to racism and misogyny. I believe you might have also been subjected to a wee bit of harassment. I think that was you.
I believe that was
you
her.
You complained with about that?
Bleeding,
yes.
From other places, bleeding from wherever, you know, who knows?
Gosh. All right, let's go to the phone lines and the text lines. Y'all are going to have a shot until the end of the top of the hour. At the end of the hour, 855-757, 855-752-4842. Wes from Middleton responding to the ridiculousness that is Jay Weber on WISN. Hey, Civic, don't forget to remind people that you can find some of your favorite sporting events across the Civic Media Radio Network and do not need to rely on WISN. Thanks so much for that. For example, your Wisconsin Badgers 2024 football season kicks off on Friday, August 30th. Across several Civic Media stations, you can find them on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, RC in Richland Center, RJN in Racine, and of course WALK in Amory. Thanks for that, Wes from Middleton. Jeff from Shorewood pointing out that, frankly, the MAGA cult doesn't have a single policy or proposal about how to tax, frankly, rich individuals. They don't have any actual policy positions about reproductive freedom. It's a problem. Also, we've got Josh from Wausau. I loved how Donald Trump got all bent out of shape about President Obama making a little joke about him. But Trump makes those jokes all the time. We'll take more of your calls and texts when we come back. I'll get to all of you if you are on the line. Cindy, Jack, LA Tom, Mark, and CJ, I see you. We'll come back to the phones after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. Hey, put everybody, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's the DNC Recap. Coming back to you after these important messages.
Great big juicy one, teeny weeny squeeny one, see how they wiggle and squirm, bite off their heads and suck out their juice and throw all their skins away.
And nobody knows how I survive on worms three times a day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A question I get a lot from people at the beginning of their money journey is, how should I invest my money? Okay, time for some real talk. That's a great question, best asked after you've paid off any high interest debt. You know, making 7% per year in an index fund when you're paying 28% on a credit card, it just doesn't add up. So get rid of that high interest debt first, and then you'll be set to make investment choices that can really pay off. And pro tip, while I paid down my high interest debt in my 20s, I also made sure to put at least $1,000 away for emergencies, you know, like car breakdowns, so I could keep as out of debt as possible. And that was today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube, or you can text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Sunning. Yesterday my life was filled with rain.
Welcome back, everybody.
Sunning. You smiled at me and really eased the pain.
I'll tell you what I'm feeling sunny about on this extremely hot and humid Monday afternoon here in Wisconsin. I'm feeling sunny about the fact that 200,000 new volunteers during the DNC signed up for shifts. Not just like, oh, here's my name, call me later about potentially maybe, I don't know if it fits in my schedule, doing something. But to Brian's point, to Michelle's point, to Oprah's point, to Kamala Harris's point, do something. 200,000 new volunteers have signed up for shifts to help Kamala Harris and Tim Walz become president and vice president of the United States. That is pretty impressive. Lynn from Oconomowoc saying, don't forget that the vice president shared that her mother never let them, her or her sister, do anything half-assed. Indeed, Lynn. She cried all the way through Governor Walz's acceptance speech. Every time she thinks about anything about Gus, oh, it was so joyful, pure, unfiltered, and proud. Julie from Mad Radio pointing out that I said November 5th. Oops. I believe, let me just triple check here. This is how fuzzy your brain gets, everybody. Let's see. It will be November 5th. November 5th is the election. It is Tuesday, November 5th. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, including me, when I get it wrong. Thanks, Julie. Jeff from Shorewood pointing out that Ron Johnson has a captive customer for his product. Yes, indeed, he does. Let's go to L.A. Tom. Haven't seen you on my call list in a while. How you doing, Tom? Welcome back.
Hey, Maggie. First off, I think this proves of the 200,000 volunteers that we, the people, ultimately are the government, and we are going to save our democracy and not let it go to Project 2025. Ron Johnson and all these other small business owners, I'm a small business owner. And you know what? I'm so happy to be a small business owner, and I hope I can give back to regular people through my taxes. Because the truth is, I don't like corporate America. I don't like working for corporate America. So all these people that cry up and cry about, oh, they're small business. First off, Ron Johnson, you're probably using ADP as your payroll situation. So you and your BS crap that you say about Mandela Barnes not using payroll, give me a freaking break. Second, didn't Ron Johnson marry in money? I think that's what happened there, if I remember correctly. And then also Paul Ryan, who benefits from his dad's Social Security. But here's my number one thing from the DNC that I actually loved, Maggie, was Bill Clinton, of all people, Bill Clinton gets up there and says, since 1989, there were 51 million jobs created. 50 million were created by Democratic presidents. 1 million were created by Republican presidents. To me, that's a drop the mic deal. That's the thing we should be repeating over and over again, because Democrats are just better on the economy. It's just the way it is. I mean, it's you invest in infrastructure and you invest in things. It's all about getting a return on that investment. And Democrats get the return on investment.
Yeah, they sure do, Tom. Baseline, every economist worth their salt will tell you infrastructure investments, investment in reskilling and upskilling, sometimes relocation for workers when the economy changes, right? We've gone largely from a manufacturing economy to a service economy. That sometimes requires governmental intervention, ensuring that workers are healthy, that they have childcare, that the air and water that they breathe is clean. This is what builds, sustains, and encourages economic growth. Helping small businesses afford healthcare for their employees through incentive programs or other tax relief for truly small businesses, that all makes really great economic sense, and it is part of the Democratic platform. Cindy from Appleton, favorite moments or comments this afternoon?
Well, the Republicans seem to have an issue with career politicians. I wish they had a bigger issue with millionaire and billionaire politicians.
100%, Cindy. This has always been my gripe. It's the origin of my attacks on people like Ron Johnson and Eric Hovde, because you have no idea what it's like to have, without any choice, without true choice, worry about how to make ends meet. You've never, neither one of those gentlemen, I would venture to guess, has ever tried to, what I call, manage your credit, where you're running, you know, you've racked up expenses, you've had huge medical bills, you can't make both mortgage and a credit card payment, and your credit card creeps up, and it's at 25%. You've never dealt with that. You've never dealt with student loans whose payments take out half of your month net earnings after payroll tax.
Hold on. I blacked out after you said 25%. I'm like, what do you mean 25%? This is 25%. It's funny, Maggie. You said 25%. Yeah. That's funny. I'm blacked out now.
Yes. Well, speaking of Eric Hovde and what a cruel person he is and how much he doesn't care about baseline reproductive freedom, without which women cannot fully participate in our political, cultural, or economic systems. Listen to what freaking Eric Hovde had to say during the DNC, mind you. Like, this is during the DNC on Newsmax about women voters. If you're a woman and a conservative, if you're a conservative that loves a woman, has a daughter, cares anything about women at all, here's what Eric Hovde has to say about the women that you love, and to every woman, conservative, liberal, independent, white, purple, polka-dotted, black, brown, whatever. Here's what Eric Hovde thinks about women.
Your opponent is a woman. You're running against her. The top of the Democrat ticket is a woman. Specifically, how do you message to get women to come over to the Republican side in this election?
Look, it's just not my way. I'm kind of like President Reagan. If I don't have something good to say about somebody, I just don't say it. I focus on the issues and hold her accountable for her record. So you're not going to see me name calling and all of that. I will be focused on what she has voted for, how she has hurt the people of Wisconsin, because her record is horrible and she has nothing to run on. She's a big do nothing on top of it. So she is really accomplished very little for all her time in Congress and the Senate. So staying focused on her record and the issues that matter to the people of Wisconsin.
Just to summarize there, wannabe Senator Eric Hovde, you carpetbagger from California, you're a banker, you oppose reproductive freedom, and when asked, how do you appeal to women voters, your response is, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything. What the hell's wrong with you, man? We come back. We're going to start in with Maggie and the Millionaires. If I didn't get to your calls, I'll give you another crack at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
We got to do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we got to do? Toga party.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Crude and Dom.
Dom and Crude return on Monday after doing double duty at the DNC last week. They'll have a recap of the convention as well as analysis of all the events that happened over the weekend.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.